You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 245. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
Coming up on this one, we're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Nashville Predators game last night. We're also going to look at the Team Canada roster, maybe even the Team USA roster, because those are the teams that are favored to win this Four Nations face-off tournament coming up in February. But before we start, I just got to say, we have a merch store. I know it sounds like I'm plugging it a lot, but it's only open for a few more weeks. So you can hit the Shopify link. It's in the YouTube description below. Also, if you're listening to this on any podcast platform, just check the description on the episode and you'll see the Shopify link right there.
Love it. Love it.
So we're coming at you here Thursday, December 5th, after the Leafs just beat the Preds 3-2. Predators. Yeah. Not the best.
Not the best.
You know what else is not the best? But depending on how you look at it, we got a snowy, blowy night in Ontario right now, folks. Don't know where you're watching or where you're listening from, but in Ontario right now, where Chad and I are, snowy, blowy night. Snowy, not the best. Blowy nights. Sometimes I can take a blowy night here and there. I don't mind a blowy night. What about you? I kind of like a blowy night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're talking about a blowjob.
Wow.
Or just the wind. Like, there's no way you like the wind blowing on your face.
Not on my face.
Snowy blowy night.
Snowy blowy night in Ontario, folks. So wherever you are, buckle in, get ready. We're going to blow the roof off of this one tonight. A ton of stuff to get into. Anything off the top, Chad, that you'd like to float out there, or do you want me to dive right in?
Let's get right into it.
Okay. 3-2 win. The Leafs beat the struggling Nashville Predators. Struggling is probably putting it lightly at this point. Man, that team just looks in complete disarray. I don't know what's going on there. They sign all these top guys in the offseason, and then they just, like, what is going on in Nashville? Do you want to just take a quick second and, like, what's your opinion on why, like, Stamkos, Marchessault or whatever his name is, like, what the guy from Carolina's, the defenseman, I can't think of his,
yeah, his name. They went out and they got offense, because even last year they went on a hell of a run, but they had a little trouble scoring goals. Like, they went out and got a lot of people who can put the puck in the net. Their penalty kill, pretty good. Their defensive game, save percentage, pretty good. Goal scoring, not good at all. Like, no. They just cannot score. They have no offense to their game at all. It's really weird.
I think they've lost 5 games in a row by the score of 3-2.
Yeah. Well, it's important too.
And some, well, yeah, didn't count Tavares in the empty net, but good hustle by JT to get that puppy in there. But no, but, like, you know, the Preds had lost 4 games going into last night, and, like, I think a couple, like 2 or 3 of them were in overtime, but their last 5 games, they've lost 3-2 every time. So it's not like they're not in it. They are. And I don't think the Leafs played, like, that great in the first 2 periods, but then we had a little reunited and it feels so good. We'll get to that in a second. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, hottest team in the league, Chad, right now. 8 wins in their last 10 games. Best shot they've had at winning the Eastern Conference? Yes or no? Elaborate.
Yeah. Yeah, in this era, yes. And I only say that because I think Boston looks a little better ever since they fired the coach, but they still have struggles down there. Tampa, they're just not the same Tampa team. They could turn it on, but basically,
they're going to make the playoffs, though, and so is Boston, because the Sabres and the Sens and the Habs and the fucking, the rest of them all suck still.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same 4 fucking teams. You know it.
It's going to come down to them and the Panthers probably for the Eastern Conference.
I don't think for the Eastern Conference. I just think for the dude. You look at the Metro. The Washington Capitals are leading the Metro division, followed by I think Carolina
and the Devils.
And the Devils, like the.
But
Rangers,
I'm pretty sure the Leafs have.
The Rangers are falling off a fucking cliff.
Yeah, I know. The Rangers are just. I don't know what's going on in New York. Like they're not good. Like take away Shesterkin.
Yeah,
and they're probably weak.
I thought I was high on the Rangers going into this season. I thought, well, this team might win the Eastern Conference, but I'm not thinking that right now. But anyway.
Yeah, the Capitals have, yeah, you're right. The Capitals have two more points than the Leafs. I thought the Leafs had games in hand over everybody, but they do have games in hand over everybody except the Capitals.
So that's a big game coming up on Friday night. Two top team in the Atlantic versus the top team in the Metro. It should be a hell of a fucking game. And the Capitals have continued to win without Ovechkin. Impressive. Very impressive. Yeah. I thought you look at the Capitals on paper, I'm like, not a playoff team. No way. And they're leading the fucking Metro.
And Ovi's gone.
I know.
Ovi came out of the gate like a bat out of hell, meatloaf. And now he's not even there. And they're still pulling out all these wins.
Very impressive what's going on there. Very impressive.
But I mean, the Leafs have games in hand. Like New Jersey's tied with 36 points with them, but they have three games in hand in New Jersey. Yeah. I thought it was like that with everybody, but not with Washington. Exact same games played.
Okay. So, yeah, like the Leafs clearly have a shot to win. I think it's their best chance they've had to win the Atlantic. But
for sure.
They're in the mix. I wouldn't count them out to win the Eastern Conference. Absolutely not. Like they're in the mix with a handful of teams that can do it for sure, without a doubt, but we'll see. I just think, like, I guess the only reason why I was going there first is because I think it's like pretty important for them to get home. Look at their home record. I think they're like, what are they, 12 and 10 and 3 on home ice or something like that. Like they don't lose at home.
But if you win the Atlantic, you'll get home ice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's imperative that, like, let's get fucking home ice. So, like, if you win the Atlantic and you can get home ice at least until the third round, I think that's huge, man. Like, especially you look at the way they've been playing at home and their home record. Like, yeah, how about we, you know, fuck this 2-3 thing. Win it. Win the fucking division and just get home ice for at least the first two rounds. We'll see. But you know it's going to be the Leafs and it's going to be Boston. Like, that's what it's going to be. It'll probably be Florida and Tampa. And that's what we're looking like. It's not even Christmas and we can pretty much call it. But I shouldn't say that. Who knows? Boston could go on a run. Tampa could dip a bit. But
if it started today, they get the Rangers.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So Boston would play a team from the Metro.
Boston.
Washington?
No, Boston's in third place. They would play the Panthers.
Who's in fourth? Tampa?
Flyers.
What? Where's Tampa out?
Tampa's out, but they haven't played as many games as everybody else.
Okay.
Like they've only played 23 games. A lot of people have played 28.
Okay. Anyway.
But I'm just saying, today, point-wise, in the standings, the Flyers and the Rangers hold the last wild card spot, so the Leafs would get the Rangers because they are behind the Capitals.
So, hey, man, you guess what? You win the Atlantic, the Rangers have a shit fucking year, you get them in the wild card, and you got Shesterkin in the first round.
You get goalied out of the first round.
Holy fuck, right? Like, if one team might flick a switch in the playoffs, or not even flick a switch, but just, like, the goaltender alone, oh, you had a great year, Toronto Maple Leafs. You won the Atlantic for the first time. Shesterkin's waiting for you in the first round, Madison Square Garden. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go. Oh, man. Anyway, we'll see. That Philadelphia thing is interesting, though. If they slip to a wild card and we get torts in the first round, that would be something.
Well, they're 1 point ahead of Tampa, and Tampa has three games in hand.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
And I mean, season's long to go. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't put the Flyers in a wild card spot, but hey, you never know.
You never know. Anyway, okay, so look, not the greatest start to this hockey game against Nashville. Not the best for the Leafs. I don't want to say playing down here, but they just didn't look like, I don't know, whatever. They just didn't look the sharpest, like, I've obviously. But then Craig Berube reunited, and it feels so good. Ooh. He ends up
putting Mitch and Austin back together for the third period, and they come out like meatloaf. You already made me. Here's our third meatloaf reference in the last two podcasts. You already made one tonight. We're only 10 minutes in. This is the second one we've made. But it's true, man. In the first 3 minutes of the second period, Marner sets up Austin twice to bury it. And look, dude, I'll throw it to you here in a second. So Mitch and Austin back together, and Mitch has a 3-point night. More on him in a second.
I know, but that last goal,
he had a 3-point night. He
had 4 points.
He made a great play on the Tavares empty netter to get the puck out of the zone that didn't end up counting. But yeah, great defensive play by Mitch, 100%. But 3-point night by Mitch. Austin, 2 goals. Looking good. He's looking a little more like himself out there.
That second goal was vintage Austin.
Yeah, he was sniffing a Hattie for sure. He was absolutely sniffing it. I think he hit a post early, whatever. Like, he was all over it. Looking good. But Mitch Marner, more on Austin in a second here, but Mitch Marner with a 3-point night. He's now fifth in the NHL in points, on pace for 122 points. Would be the most that he's never surpassed 100. He's been sniffing 100, but he's fifth. He's fifth in the league in scoring, Chad.
Yeah.
On pace for 122. I'm going to go to Austin in a second here, but a little Mitch love again, because this guy's been fucking lights out for this hockey team.
Yeah.
You
could say it's a contract year and all that, but I think more than anything, this is a prove everybody wrong year for Mitch. This is just, he just looks determined. He's getting into scrums now. He's like, defensively, this is the best. Take away the points, man.
Yep.
He's killing penalties. He's everything. So sound in his own zone right now. This is Mitch's party where he's coming out being like, hey, I'm the fucking man. I'm the fucking man. And I'm like, he's going to get paid. That's absolutely true. But I don't know. Do you not kind of feel that this is him kind of stating like, look, I know everyone fuck, man, how hard were we on Mitch in the summertime after the playoff run?
I wanted him out.
I didn't want him out, but I was just like, he's got to do more. And I know Mitch has done a lot in the playoffs, like he's put up a lot of points, but I just feel like...
Not in the big games.
He is determined. He looks like he is determined to show everybody that he is the guy we all think he can't be.
I hope you're fucking right, because wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a big surprise for everybody? Like,
yeah.
I'll be honest with you. It does to me look like there's some maturity there. How much of that has to do with Berube? I don't know, but I think some of it does. Like,
It does.
There's just such a drastic difference between Sheldon Keefe and Craig Berube. It's just the presence alone is just like when Berube, I think we mentioned this before, but like when Berube speaks, your fucking ears are perking up. When Keith had been there for 5 fucking years, he's just not as like you just can't compare Sheldon Keefe's demeanor to Craig Berube's, right? Guys will kill you if you do something wrong potentially. And the other guy might just be like, oh, no, don't worry. Like, Keith, just don't worry about it. We'll watch the video tomorrow. We'll figure it out. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So there's just such a drastic difference between the coaches. I just think Berube has a lot to do with this. But obviously, yeah, you're right. Like, you could say contract year, you could say whatever. But guess what? We're not too far away from Christy Pitts here, brother. We're not too far away.
But listen, I don't think Berube, I think Berube gets a bad rap. Not a bad rap, but I think people talk about him like as this big, tough, mean son of a bitch. Like, we always joke that he will kill you if you do something wrong.
Hasn't had to go there yet, but it's
coming. I think it's more basic than that. I think that Keefe had a lot to implement into his systems, and he was always tinkering and trying different things. Berube has a much more simplistic approach. And you know exactly what you're supposed to do, and you know exactly what he asks from you night after night. And all he really wants is for you to do it. That's it. They started the year playing like a very, very tight defensive chip and run game. Then when they got that down, Then they started to add in a little more offense, a little more of the old Leafs flair or whatever, but still with the defensive sound. It just seems like a very simple approach that Berube's got going. Yeah. And I don't think it's that he's like, hey, you sons of bitches, no. I'm taking your music away. I'm going to be a hard ass.
No.
I think it's just very simple and very stern and business. It's all business.
It's all business. But he's like, what I was trying to say was like, he's a very dominating presence. He's a dominating presence, right?
He's like a boss that knows exactly what they want out of their employees and they get it, but they're not, you don't hate them and you're not like, fuck this guy. You're just, and I think Mitch is buying into it. Mitch is like, all right, I can play under Berube's system and I can do it well.
100%. I wasn't so sure when they made this switch with the new head coach, but yeah, Mitch has been incredible and whatever, incredible. Like, can't say enough good things about Mitch Marner right now. I hope it continues. Like, fifth in the league in scoring, crazy. Like, if he ends up blowing past 100 points, 122 or 120, whatever, just get the bag of cash ready, Christy Pitts. Like, it's coming. Just get it ready. We'll meet the whole family there and get this fucking deal done. But anyway, gonna go to Matthews here. Here's what I'm gonna say, Chad. He, 2 goals, great. Like, couple games in now, he's looking like, okay, he's looking like himself a little bit more here.
He's just warming up.
I heard a couple things floating around. Like, he had some people were saying, like, he hasn't been as hard as he normally is.
Okay.
So that you could say that he hasn't been as hard as he normally is.
Right.
But now
he's not soft.
Well, but now get ready. But now it looks like something big is coming.
Okay. All right. So let me just recap.
I can't believe you didn't say it there. Something big is coming. Something big is coming.
That's what she said. I was going to recap for you. I was going to recap that he's not that hard.
He hasn't been as hard as normal.
Okay. So he's not as hard as normal, but something big is coming.
That's right.
That's what she said.
That's right. I put that on a T.
I missed it. I fucked up. I apologize.
It's okay.
245 episodes plus 100 and something episodes with a different podcast network.
Yeah.
I never missed it. That's what she said.
I know.
And tonight I did.
I was setting you up hard for you that,
were, but it was. I thought there was more.
No. There's nothing more to say.
Something big is coming. I thought you were going to give us the big thing that was coming.
Well, the only other thing I could add to that is I think he's getting ready to explode.
Okay.
Something big is coming. Something big is coming with this guy. Can you not feel it? Can you not feel it coming?
Oh, I could feel it. You could see it last night. He was hard on it.
Something big here. So what do you think? Him and Mitch back together. Like, is this now okay? Like, they wanted to get away from it because JT and Mitch were playing so well together, and Mitch helped JT so much. And I don't hate Matthews with Nylander and Knies, but it wasn't working last night. So they throw Mitch up there, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, it's in the fucking back of the net, like 2 goals in 3 minutes. What? So now it's just okay. We're going back to this.
Why does it have to be this way or that way? Why can't it be both?
Like, well, what do you mean?
Well, like, why do they have to play together all the time? Like, why can't you just do what you did last night? Have your two lines, but then if you're not getting the offense going, then put them together. Because it seems like when you keep them apart and then you bring them back together, there's some fireworks there. They're ready to go. But if you leave them there, like we saw last year, it got stale near the end. And then Matthews ended up, when Marner got hurt, he found some chemistry with other line mates.
But
why can't it be both?
Yeah, I hear you. Like, after a game like last night, though, you'd be hard pressed going into the weekend not playing those guys together, right?
Yeah, well, just the way the third period was compared to the first two periods.
Oh, yeah.
And just the way, but at the same time, like,
oh, dude, like, you gotta go with it for now. You got it. You have to.
I mean, it's great as JT has played over the last month.
That's what worries me the most, is that how will it affect JT if Mitch and Austin are back together? Like, because Mitch was helping Austin, JT so much.
He was, but Austin's going to give you more goals.
I know.
With Mitch.
But you need, I know. Yeah, I know.
You need both of them going. You need Holmberg off the second line. That would help.
Okay, well, I was going to get to that. I was going to say, Minton again. I know he
finally did it.
Well, Minton again, here we are. So when they put Mitch and Austin back together with Nyes for the third period, guess who got a shot with JT and Willie? Our boy, 39, Fraser Minton, not fucking Holmberg. Minton all of a sudden goes from the Marlies to the third line to now playing on the fucking second line wing with Tavares. Well, what does that tell you what Berube thinks about this kid? He's like, I can't put Robertson there. Tried Holmberg, not working. There's nobody else Berube could put there. Minton was the only fucking option. The only option. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's kind of weird because, like, you would think his reasoning for putting Holmberg or Minton on the wing is because they're defensively sound, but I don't find that JT and Mitch, like when it's Mitch on the wing, I don't find that JT and Mitch are defensively irresponsible. So you could put like a Robertson and just let him rip it out there. But
why? What Robertson? No,
he's not doing anything.
No, not Robertson.
All Robertson's doing is skating over the blue line and ripping wrist shots. He's just
looking
trying
for cookies.
Trying to score some goddamn goals. I thought Minton looked so much better. Like, again, Holmberg was terrible last night in the offensive zone.
Oh, Minton, brutal. Baby. Brutal, Minton. Okay, so we all of a sudden, I just looked up and we're running long and there's still a bunch I want to get to.
Yeah, go.
What do you think about potential, like I said, something big is coming. What I meant by that is I just think Austin's really going to start getting cooking here. That's what I meant. But yeah, Potentially there's something else bigger coming. What do you think of this? I got a couple options here for you. The Flames have started pretty well. Will they falter off? I don't know. I don't know where I see Calgary, like in the mix. I'm not sure in the West. I don't know. Couple potential things, and then let's see your thoughts on it. Kadri, do you think this is just an absolute, would I take Naz back in a third line center role in 2 fucking seconds? I know he's making $7.5 million, all that. If the Flames fall off, I would love to see Kadri fucking come home to Toronto. But the Flames, wouldn't that kind of be over before it even started? Because look at last year. Tree Living tried to get Tanev. Flames said, not dealing with you, Brad. If
is that exactly how they said it?
I've got the audio calls, man. Like Craig Conroy's like, I don't think so, Brad. Try again.
That's a great Craig Conroy impression.
So
not dealing with you, Brad.
So if Tree Living goes calling for Kadri, he's going to get the same thing. I don't think so, Brad. Okay. We're not dealing with the fucking Leafs. So you can kind of shut the Kadri rumors down before they even start, right? Because there's no fucking way, Chad. You tell me, is there any way the Flames are trading Kadri to the Toronto Maple Leafs to help out fucking Tree's new team? I don't see it.
There is, if for the right price.
Why didn't they do it last year? Why wouldn't they trade Tanev? Why did they refuse to trade Tanev to Toronto?
Weren't they looking for, like, I don't think it had, maybe it did have a little bit to do with Tree Living, but I think it had more to do with the fact that they were looking for first round draft pick and the Leafs were like, we're not giving up a first round draft pick.
I think it had more to do with they didn't want to fucking help Tree out.
Well,
I'm being honest.
No, thanks, Brad.
That's right. I don't think so, Brad. Click. You're not in.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time former general managers have done deals with their former team.
No, it happens all the time, but I don't think they left on, like, there's not good terms there. Okay. So, I don't know.
Well, the same time, like, we'll see how it goes. Like, right now, Calgary's clinging on to a wild card spot. If things falter and they get closer to the basement, shedding $7.5 million.
Yep.
Might not care who you're dealing with then.
And clearly the Leafs can't afford that right now. There'd have to be some other things.
Well, you'd have to give something back, or Calgary would have to eat some of the salary. But if they're getting a younger player in return.
And Naz has got like several years left on that deal. I think it was a 7-year deal and this is only like his third year, whatever.
Yeah.
That's
more of a pipe dream, I think. You never know. But
let me throw this at you then. What about the Preds? Is there any interest for you there on any of these Nashville guys? Because I think they're going to be sellers. Like, they just don't look like they have it. Like, I've got a couple guys in mind, but is there any interest with any of those Preds players, forwards, defense, that, like, do you have interest in any of those guys? I do.
I mean, I loved Ryan O'Reilly when he was in Toronto, but
nah, I don't think that's a fit.
I don't know. Like, they just look so bad.
But you probably can't afford Stamkos, right? Do you want Stamkos has got off to his, would coming home to Toronto, like, help Stammer? Like, he might get you. What did he sign? A 5-year deal? Did he sign a 5-year deal?
He got paid, man.
So I don't think he don't. Okay. So let's not go there, because that's probably unrealistic. Although he makes less than Kadri.
I think with the way the Leafs cap is, you're looking at a third line center that is middle of the road, making middle of the road money. You're not going to go out. Unless you somehow miraculously come up with cap space or make a huge deal, you're not going to bring in a Kadri. You're not going to bring in a Stamkos. It's not going to be something huge like that.
Okay.
And as far as I'm concerned, I know that people disagree with me here, but I think for the time being, let's see if it's Fraser Minton.
Okay. No.
Third line center.
Okay. What about Schenner?
I would definitely bring Schen back.
Morgan,
I think he's only got a year after this, and he only makes like $3 million that you could easily.
Less. It's less than three. It's like 2.5 or whatever. Okay.
And he's probably the easy guy to put on Robida Island if next year doesn't work out, because he's always hurt.
Schenner gives you everything. The only playoff. Did you
see Mick Rebankin?
Oh fuck, dude! The only playoff series this team has won in their current makeup. Schenner was playing with Riley. Schen contributed huge to that fucking first round series win against Tampa Bay, and Riley played his best hockey playing with Luke Schen.
Oh man, if you had Schen and Riley, and then you had Tanev and McCabe,
Ekman Larson on your ball.
Oh my god,
with whoever,
then the goaltending that you're getting right now, that'd be a tough D to penetrate.
That's legit Stanley Cup. Like, that's legit. Like, I'm not saying they're going to win. They would win the Stanley Cup, but that's legit a blue line that could compete for a cup.
Yeah, this isn't Timothy Liljegren floating around in the top four or something like that. This is legit. No. That would be awesome. I would definitely. And see, that's doable. It's money you can fit in. You can find a way to do it. But the big names, I just don't think they have no cap space. So I just don't think you could do it unless you traded someone. But yeah, I'm definitely on board with Schen.
Me too. I would love to see him come back again. A couple quick things, and then we'll get to Team Canada. We might run a little long tonight. Whatever. What the hell? We won't be back until Sunday anyway, so whatever. Joseph Woll, again, dude. Six straight wins. He's won six straight fucking games. And what can you say other than this?
Unbelievable.
What can you say other than this? Matt Murray watch, 18 days and counting for Matt Murray. 18 days and counting before the Christmas break. They play their last game on the 23rd. It should be interesting. Hopefully Murray does not come into the equation here, but six straight wins for Woll. Stolarz the other night, forgot to mention this last podcast, he goes out as the first star. He's wearing fucking shades. He just throws on shades. Like,
I love this problem.
I think one of the fans they recorded it. Eh? Like, there's a camera in the glasses or whatever.
Yeah.
In the sunglasses. But
yeah, it was cool.
I don't know. Like, we've been pumping, like, obviously a ton of love for the goaltenders. But how about Woll, man? Like, just six straight wins and just, I don't know. Like, what can we say that we haven't said? Like,
I love the extremes that you go on everybody. Like,
I still don't trust him.
You want to kill Mitch Marner. You go on rants. You want him out of fucking town. You hate this fucking guy. And now he's on pace for 120 points. It's going to be awesome. Just hey, like 4 weeks ago, you did a huge rant on softy pants, Joseph Woll, and he can't stay healthy. And what are we going to do with this guy? And now it's six wins in a row. I mean, what can you say? He's doing amazing.
He's exceeded my expectations here, because I still don't trust him.
And you're right. He still could get hurt, but he is the most sound, solid goalie we've had. And like, when is the last time we drafted a fucking goalie of this caliber?
No.
I can't remember.
Potman, like, people Reimer. Might say Reimer. No, not even Reimer.
Reimer's not this.
No, he's not.
Wall's like
probably Potvin. Really, to be honest, it's been a long time since they've had a homegrown goaltender.
He gave up the late goal when I felt like when the Leafs went up 3-1 and they kind of took their foot off the gas last night.
Yeah, I don't think that was his fault though.
No, that wasn't his fault. But that first goal off the glass, he basically had a shutout going because
no chance. Yeah,
Nashville. The first goal was if that doesn't go off the glass, they don't score.
No, absolutely not.
He just can't be beat. Knock on wood.
So anyway, we'll see. No, look, I'll just lay it to you straight here, man. Look, the whole Marner thing, the way the playoffs ended and just Mitch's disappointment, I'm just like, you can't win with this guy. So I have no problem coming on here and being like, admitting when I'm wrong. And I'm not going to go there now. I love the way Mitch is playing. He is bringing it and he looks incredible. Let's talk again in May and June or May. We'll see what happens.
I'm not disagreeing that it's different. I'm just saying the extremes, like how much extreme. You love him when he's playing good how much you hate him in the playoff.
The kid's great. I know he's got like the ability to make it happen, but just like we need more Mitch when the time counts. And with Wall,
you're just a frustrated Leaf fan.
I love Joseph Wall. I want to see him have massive success with this hockey team, but I do not trust him. I don't trust him that they're up 3-0 in a playoff series and he can't go in game 4 to clinch it. Yeah. That's where I'm at. So until those two guys prove otherwise, then like, you know, I'm a fan of the team. I want to see them succeed. I like Joseph Wall. I like Mitch as a player. I just want to see more at the most important when it counts, when it fucking counts. Okay, early December, Mitch is killing it. Great. Let's fucking talk about April and May and see where things are at. We'll reevaluate it.
That's what I'm saying.
But my story might flip. I might flip again.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, quickly before we get to Team Canada and get out of here. Yeah. Domi not ready to go, will not play on the weekend. Pacioretty ahead of schedule, could potentially play on the weekend. Just any thoughts on that? Domi not going to play, not a big deal. He wasn't really doing much anyway. Pacioretty could be back.
That'd be nice.
Is there? I'd keep him out a little longer, personally, Pacioretty, because like he was playing so well. Like you never, this guy's like kind of glass.
Well, he's not glass. He's just, his body's broken down.
He grabbed his ass cheek hard. When he went down in front of the net there, like that was a full ass grab. That was almost like a Tiger Woods. He's like,
grabbing the glutes and hitting the chute.
Gone. But no, it'll be great to see Pacioretty back. And then I would imagine that he would slide in with, if this is what they're going to do, keep Mitch and Austin together. I imagine Patch might draw in with Tavares and Nylander. I think there was chemistry there with Tavares and Pacioretty. So we'll see. Any thoughts on that before we move to Team Canada?
Yeah, I agree with you. He should, unless he's 100%, don't come back at 90%. Don't come back at 95%. They don't need him. Like they're rolling right now. They don't need Domi. They don't need anybody to come. This isn't the playoffs. They don't need anybody to come back and hurt themselves. They're rolling. I don't mind the kids playing some more games.
Same here, man. 8-2 in their last 10 games. You're right. They're rolling. No need to rush anybody back. But I want
not a 38-year-old Pacioretty.
No, but I'll tell you what. I want Pacioretty in this lineup. And I didn't even want them to fucking sign this guy. But the way he came in and played, here I am again. But the way he came
side to the other.
Well, but Look, I didn't know that he was a fucking animal like that. He added an element to his game where he's just like, yeah, fuck, whatever. I'll go out and kill you. Like, whatever, right? So, Pacioretty can really...
He plays with an edge.
A lot of heart. You can just see it. And, like, I think Pacioretty could really help this team in the playoffs. So, I'm hoping that he's going to be healthy. And we'll see. Anyway, let's talk a little Team Canada. Maybe we'll just do 5 minutes on Team Canada and we'll get out of here because we already are running long anyway. What did you think? So they announced the roster. Any surprises to you or like, I don't know if you want to say it or if you want to just talk like bubble guys. So I got a couple. You go ahead, but I've got a couple that I probably wouldn't have put on the team and a couple guys that they didn't put on the team that I would have replaced a couple guys with. What do you think?
It was pretty much what I thought. I think the one person that kind of jumped out at me was Seth Jarvis.
Yeah, I wouldn't have did that.
Yeah,
he's 22. He's not going to play. He's the 13th forward.
He's like a young, like he's like a younger Mitch Marner. Like he's kind of a playmaker. Like he's not Mitch Marner, but he's kind of like he's smaller, kind of more skates. He's good with the puck and passing and stuff. Yep. I don't know. I was just like, okay, there are some other guys like,
yeah,
like Shifley, maybe
Shifley, like, Wilson. Tom Wilson?
I don't know. I'm not a big Tom Wilson guy, but
well, he's a fucking that guy's a gamer. Because
Shifley's more of like a veteran, been around a long time, has a little grit to him. I don't know. I was just surprised. Like Seth Jarvis is a great player. I was just surprised he cracked the lineup. Even Hyman, maybe. I know Hyman having a shitty year, but
so when I'm looking at the forward group here, like we don't have to name them. I'm sure everybody that's watching this or listening already knows who made it, who didn't. But okay, so the coach is Cooper from Tampa Bay. One of the GMs is Sweeney from Boston. The other GM is the dude Armstrong from St. Louis, whatever. And I think Dubas is involved too, and whatever. Like, there's a bunch of people involved, but they go heavy. They go like
Dubas is scouting Sault Ste. Marie,
100%. But if you look at it, like the guys that are at the top, like the upper brass. So like Cooper decides, like, okay, I have no problem. Sorelli's an incredible hockey player, but they put two Tampa guys on there, right? Sorelli and Brandon Hagel, and then they end up putting Marchand's the only Bruin on there.
They have three Tampa players.
Sweeney. Or who's the other? Who am I missing? Braden Point. Sorry. Okay. Well, Point deserves to be there, obviously. Like, yeah. I don't like all three of those guys deserve to be there, but there's three Tampa guys on the team. Okay. And then from St. Louis, Armstrong puts Colton Parayko. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he's one of your top seven best fucking defensemen. Colton like, I just think that there's a little bit of bias there.
Maybe.
Three Tampa guys for Cooper, the dude Armstrong from St. Louis, he's got to get one of his guys in there. Like, I don't know. Do you not think there's a little bit of fucking bias there? Yeah. Like, that's kind of
reminds me of like when the Blue Jays were in the All-Star game and Cedal Gaston picked seven Blue Jays. Do you remember?
Well, they were the best team in the league,
though. I know, but he picked like almost their entire starting lineup. But no, it's not like that. Three Tampa Bay, I was a little surprised. But I guess, like, I saw Cooper being interviewed about it. Did you see it? It was in the intermission last night.
Yeah.
And I did like what he said about it wasn't about trying to represent every team or anything like that. Like, this was about building a team and not just the best scorers or the best skilled guys. And I think, like, that's what you get. That's what they're trying to do here. And I think he's bringing those three Tampa guys because he knows them the best on what they could do in situations in big games. He has seen these guys at Stanley Cup finals.
He's seen
them. And I think that's okay with me because I have no problem with them. They're all good players. Could you replace them? Sure. Well, I wouldn't replace Point. Actually, Hagel's having a good year too.
For sure. Like, and so is Sorelli. Like, the only guy out of the forward mix for me would probably be Seth Jarvis, and I probably would have put Hyman on there just because
but he's not like he had a great year last year, but he's kind of come back down to his normal level.
But it wasn't just last year, Chad. Like he's put a run together. He has struggled early this year, but I think Hyman's a guy where you only need to win 4, 5, 6 games to win this tournament. I think he could help you. And so just for me, it's real simple. I would not have Seth Jarvis. I would have had Zach Hyman. And on the back end, I would not have put Parayko on the team. I would have put Doughty. I know Doughty hasn't played, but Doughty is a gritty motherfucker. He's coming back early January. He'll be ready to play,
and he's been there so many times with Canada.
So those are the two moves I would have made. I would have left Jarvis off, I would have put Hyman on, and I would have not put Parayko on, and I would have had Doughty. What do you think?
I'm okay with that. I look at the Parayko thing the same way I look at Cooper taking three Tampa Bay players. Like, I look at it like Doug Armstrong knows this guy. He's had him for years. He must see something. Like, imagine it was Tree Living with the GM.
Chad, he's not better than Drew Doughty.
No, he's not better, but Drew Doughty's not even playing right now.
But he's going to be.
He's going to be, but you don't know what he's going to be when he gets back. Well, could take him months before. I know, but Drew Doughty on one leg is not the same. And my example would be, imagine Tree Living was the GM and he wanted to bring Tanev. And a lot of people around the league would be like, what the fuck? You want to bring Tanev? And he's like,
no, because Tanev was close anyways. So I heard.
Right. But he didn't make the team. But what if instead of Parayko, he ended up bringing, like, Tree Living was the GM and he brought Tanev because he knows what he's getting. He loves this guy. He knows he's going to be sound and block shots. Like, I just think when they pick these guys, they're not picking them because they're like doing a favor to Tampa Bay or St. Louis. They're picking them because there's something about them they see game in and game out that they think they can bring to Team Canada. Sure. That's what I think. That's why there's three Tampa Bay, and that's why Parayko's there.
I'm glad Tanev is not there because I don't want to, like, we need him for the playoffs. So I'm glad that Tanev.
Well, it's only one weekend.
I
always want to call it the Four Nations Cup.
That is what it's called.
No, it's called the Four Nations Face Off.
Oh, Four Nations Face Off. Okay.
But I call it the Four Nations Cup all the time.
Yeah, well, there will be a cup awarded, I think, or something. Like
the name of the tournament is the Four Nations.
Four Nations Face Off. Yeah. Okay. So last thing quickly before we go. The three goalies: Binnington, Aiden Hill, and Sam Montembeau. What are we talking about here? I would have put Fleury in the third spot for sure, but we don't have to spend much time on that. But Binnington and Hill are
Mike Johnson, who called Montembeau back in September.
That's crazy. I just think that's crazy. But anyway, whatever. He's not going to play.
No, so, apparently just to get him ready for the 2026 Olympics.
That scares me too, because if that's who's...
Okay, you have a French goalie playing in Montreal. Well, he's got to be good then.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Like, maybe Montembeau, I don't watch the Habs every night, so maybe Montembeau is better than I think he is, but, like, I don't think he... Like, if he had a better team in front of him, would he be better? Yeah, potentially, but with just... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say his upside is apparently insanely high, but he does have a terrible team in front of him. Like, put him in net for the Leafs. Does he give you what Joseph Wall's giving you? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so.
They're putting a lot of stock in this guy because they're bringing him, and, like, I don't know. There's a chance he could play.
There's a chance, but I don't think so. So here's, let's just keep him out of it. So Binnington and Aiden Hill, out of those two guys, who do you think is the starting goaltender?
I hate him, but it's probably Binnington.
I disagree. I think it's Hill.
You don't think in a quick tournament you go to the more veteran guy in Binnington?
Aiden Hill. I just watched a game the other night where Edmonton was in Vegas, and I watched the whole game live. Edmonton was peppering him, and Aiden Hill stood on his fucking head. And as far as I know, these are the only two goalies in the tournament. I know a lot of people shitting on the Canadian goaltenders. Binnington, Aiden Hill, the only two goalies that have won fucking Stanley Cups entire tournament. So Aiden Hill is, it could be Binnington. For sure it could be. Aiden Hill is a fucking monster. And when he's on his game, and you only need to win three or four games or five games to win the whole fucking thing, I think Hill will be the starter, but I could be wrong. It might be Binnington.
Oh, no, you're persuading me that maybe they do go with Aiden Hill. I just think, like, Binnington just has, I don't know why, he just has his reputation around him to being like a amazing goalie, amazing veteran goalie. I don't know. He has this aura around him. I don't get it. I don't like Binnington. I don't even think Binnington's that great of a goalie. Like, I think he had one great season, followed up by a few good seasons, followed up by some mediocre seasons.
Yeah, don't disagree.
I have a feeling they'll go with the veteran guy.
We'll see.
Maybe they'll go back to back, and then whoever plays better gets the next game.
If you're still watching, guys, on YouTube, let us know in the comments who do you think should be the starting goaltender for Canada at the Four Nations Face Off. We'll see. I think it's going to be Hill. Could be Binnington, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Anyway, we ran super long tonight, guys. That's okay. Anyway, let's go with this one.
Jay. An extra 10 minutes isn't a big deal. Anyway, for the Tippin Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget, guys, the merch store is open. Thank you to everyone who's gone and purchased something at the merch store. We really do appreciate it. We don't really make any money off it. We just thought for Christmas, we might get some merchandise out there. You can go there, the description, the Shopify description in the YouTube video. If you're listening to the podcast, go to the Shopify link in the podcast description. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Tippin Maple Leafs Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe. The button is right. Where is it?
I don't know.
Here.
Come on.
The button is right there.
Just fine.
You can
hit like, hit subscribe. Just find the fucking button.
Not going to do it, Brad. And you can email us.
Not today, Brad.
You can email us thetippinpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Chad.
Dale.
We will.
Back to back on the weekend, the red hot Washington Capitals and the red hot Pittsburgh Penguins. They've won, I think, four of their last five games. So a little doobie doobie doo. Should be an interesting matchup on the weekend. Back-to-back should be great. Both goalies, Stolarz and Wall, will obviously split the games. And very excited to see if the Leafs can keep this thing cooking. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Snowy and blowy. Love the blowy. Hate the snowy. Love the blowy. We'll catch you later. You're listening to the Tippin Maple Leafs Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.